Take your Bibles now. We're returning to two separate scriptures. The first one you'll find and put your finger in, Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and verse number 11. Ecclesiastes chapter 9. Just find Ecclesiastes 9. Put your finger in it. Once you've found Ecclesiastes chapter 9, turn to 1 Corinthians right after the book of Romans. 1 Corinthians, we'll read from chapter number 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, we'll read responsively beginning in verse 25 all the way through the end of the chapter in verse 31. I'll begin reading in verse number 25. You'll join me on verse 26. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 in verse number 25, the Bible says, "Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and base things of the world, and the things which are despised, hath God chosen, yea, and the things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom, and righteousness, and sanctification, and redemption." Join me on verse 31. "That according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord." Now if you will go to Ecclesiastes chapter 9, we'll read verse number 11 together. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse number 11. Ready? "I returned and saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, neither yet bread to the wise, nor yet riches to men of understanding, nor yet favor of men of skill, but time and chance happeneth to them all." And let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for what you've done in our midst today. Lord, how your presence was felt this morning, Lord, through the preaching, through the singing, and the fellowship that we had today. Lord, tonight, Lord, we need something fresh and anew. Lord, we are creatures of habits, and Lord, we are creatures, Lord, that are prone, Lord, to do things our way and to see life our own way. But tonight, Lord, please, with this truth, Lord, may we step aside from ourselves, Lord, and view this truth through your eyes. Lord, please speak to our hearts. Take this truth, apply it to us. Allow us to become closer to you and be able to do more for you because of what is done here tonight. We ask all these things in your name. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. I have 29 minutes. I'm going to finish at 7 o'clock, whether I'm done or not. But I'm going to preach a truth tonight that will apply to every person here. Doesn't matter how old you are, how young you are, how long you've been saved, or how new to Christianity you are. This is something that all of us need and all of us can work on. This is one of those things that you don't get at once and you've got it forever. It's one of those things that you get it and you got to keep working on it. When you buy a car and they fill it with gas at the dealership, if they fill it with gas at the dealership, that tank of gas doesn't last you the life of the car. You have to keep putting gas into it, and you have to have the oil changed, and you have to put new tires on it every once in a while, the way some of you drive more times than you should. There's maintenance involved. You bought the car, but it doesn't mean you never have to do anything to it the rest of its life. This is one of those kind of truths. I want to help you tonight. People have different abilities. God gave people different abilities and talents, one from another. Some are mechanically minded, others musically. Some are computer tech savvy, and others are like me. Amen. Yeah, that means not computer savvy and not tech savvy. There are some who are well organized and scheduled, and there are others that fly by the seat of their britches. There are some who are very good with finances and others that are very good at spending. Some of you caught that. There are those who are good at talking, and there are those that are good at listening. In other words, we all have different talents. Some are musically inclined. There are some that you have trouble playing the radio. Hey, buddy. You know, some of you, the best song for you to sing is on a hill very far away. yeah, so low, nobody hears you. After 39 plus years of preaching, 30 years of full-time ministry, I believe that I know what ability that is the greatest according to God. Might surprise you, but he has given this ability to everybody. I want you to notice something in Ecclesiastes chapter 9. It says, I returned and saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, neither yet bread to the wise, nor yet riches to the men of understanding, nor yet favor to men of skill, but time and chance happeneth to them all. That ability is found there in Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse number 11. It's also found in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. I believe with all my heart that the greatest ability in the Bible that a person can have is that of dependability. Being dependable. Notice God said the race isn't to the swift. I know a lot of people that aren't real swift. It's not always to the wise. It's not always to the strong. It's not to those that always have understanding or skill. But the Bible says time and chance happeneth to all. Do you know what the definition of success is? When preparation meets opportunity. Opportunity comes to everybody. Success is because somebody was prepared when the opportunity came. Time and chance happeneth to all. The person living in a box on Skid Row had the same opportunities that the person living in the million-dollar estate up the road lives in. They had the same opportunity. One prepared for it. One chose not to prepare for it. And it's not the person who lives in the million-dollar estate's job to take care of the one living in the cardboard box. Amen. It's the person's responsibility in the cardboard box to become dependable so that they can get out of the cardboard box. Amen. Everybody doing okay? Dependable. What does the word dependability mean? It's a person who could be trusted where they are supposed to be, when they're supposed to be there, doing what they're supposed to do the way they're supposed to do it. There are people who will get fired from jobs that have the talent to do the job, but they can't show up to work every day. They're not dependable. There are people who are lesser qualified who will run the job because they're there all the time. They're dependable. You give me somebody that's dependable, I'll show you somebody that's teachable. Amen. You give me somebody that's going to be there, do what they're told, as they're told, when they're told, I'll show you somebody who has great ability to succeed. Yes. Because they will have plenty of opportunity to be trained, and when the opportunity comes, they know what to do. Right. There are those that know what to do, but if they're not there when the opportunity comes, guess what? It's knocking on somebody else's door. Now, listen to me very carefully here, and I want to help you. This is a dependable person. You never have to wonder if they're coming or if they're going to have their duties covered. Please don't take this the wrong way. You don't generally wonder if the preacher's going to be here. You didn't show up at 6 o'clock and say, I wonder if the preacher's going to be here on time. I wonder if we're going to start church on time. Oh, no, we're going to start on time. You didn't get here and wonder if the buildings were going to get unlocked so that everybody could get in. I preached in a church one time. I think the service started at 7. At 5 till 7, everybody was in the parking lot, in their cars, waiting on the pastor to get there to unlock the church and turn everything on. He got there at 7:02. I happened to talk to somebody on the way in. I said, "Does this happen often?" "Oh, yeah, this is the way it always is." And the guy wondered why things weren't going real well in his church. I said, "Well, is he working a second job?" "No, this is just the way he is." Whew. Not me. Someone who's dependable is someone you can count on to get what you ask, when you ask for it, and how you asked for it. You don't have to wonder if it's going to be there. Now, let me say this. We can all be dependable. We can all be dependable. Okay, don't shoot the messenger. I'm just going to read what I wrote. Most people are dependable for what they want to do. If you want to do something, guess what? You'll be there. Are we dependable in all areas of life, though? I don't just want to be dependable in one area of my life. If I'm only dependable in one area of life, I'm not a dependable person, Brother Mike. Some of you are dependable at work, and every other area of your life goes to the booger man in a hurry. You could be dependable at work, but if you're not dependable at home too, what good is it? And there are some people that are dependable at home, but they are not dependable at work. What good is that? Everybody doing okay? Many are dependable to make money. But let me ask you a question. Are you dependable in your walk with God? Some of you wouldn't miss a day of work or a dollar at work, but when's the last time that you missed a day reading your Bible and walking with God? I'm going to give you, let's see here, three things, and then I'll be done. Number one, let me say this. I think that we ought to strive to be dependable in all areas of our life, not just one. I want my wife to be dependable upon me. I want my children to be able to depend on Dad. I want my church to be able to depend on their preacher. I want my friends to be able to depend on me. I want, as much as I can, I want my community to be able to depend on me. Why do you think the rehab center called our church? I have a feeling they found out somebody cares. They wanted to see how dependable we were. One of the saddest things I've heard in a long time. One of the ladies that works there, she said, "You're the first pastor to come here." I thought, how sad. How sad. So, how about we work at being dependable in all areas? Point number one, you ready? Sin disrupts dependability. Sin disrupts dependability. I do not have time to take you there, but in Genesis chapter 3, verses 8 through 10, mark it down. God came to Adam after he and Eve had sinned, and he said, "Adam, where art thou?" You know, God never had to ask where Adam was before that day. Adam was dependable until he sinned. God knew where Adam was at all times. But now Adam is hiding in fear because of sin. Can I tell you something? Sin will disrupt your dependability. Sin has caused man, listen to this, this is deep, and I need your brain for a second. And for some of you, give it to me for a minute. Sin has caused man to want to be his own God. This means our old nature wants to control our life and our time. Now listen to me. Because we're sinners, we want to be our own God. Well, it's my life. It's my time. Well, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 says, "What know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? And that your life is not your own, you're bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body, which is God's." Guess what? If you're saved, your life is not yours. It's supposed to be God's. It's not a matter of what you want to do. What does God want you to do? What is right to do? Everybody doing okay? Our sin nature is us trying to be our own God, which means we want to set our priorities and not let God set our priorities. That's what Satan tempted Adam and Eve with in the garden. He said, look, you don't need God to tell you what's right and wrong. If you eat of that, you can decide right and wrong, your own priorities, and you can do it yourself and you don't need God. Boy, that's deep. We're supposed to let godly leadership, the word of God, and leadership even at work, ordained by God, leadership ordained by God, tell us what to do, not ourselves. Some of you get ticked off at a boss, but he has the power of God ordained on him to tell you what to do while you're at work. Like it or lump it, that's the way it is. Go to Hebrews chapter 13, you'll find that out. Romans chapter 12 and Romans chapter 13 and 14 talk about it. Everybody doing okay? So in other words, we get in a battle of who sets the priority, me or God. Then we get saved. But we did not lose our old nature. Now watch what happens. Then we get puffed up and say, well, I think I know the Bible well enough. I don't need God. I can tell you what God wants. You're treading in pretty dangerous territory. You're looking at a preacher. I'm not going to tell our young people what the will of God is for their life. I'm not God. I can give them wise guidelines. And I can tell them to seek what God wants in their life, not what they want in their life. But I'm not about to tell somebody they're not right with God because they're going to do this over this. You want a preacher like that, go find somebody else. I don't tell somebody, I was preaching some, I think it was in Washington State preaching, and a youth pastor came up to me, or a pastor came up to me and said, this is one of our young men. He thinks God's called him to preach. I looked at him, I called him by name. I said, you think so? He said, I think so. I said, God didn't call you to preach. Right. He looked at me. I said, God didn't call you to preach. And the pastor right in front of him said, Pastor, Brother Bush, what are you doing? You're trying to discourage him? I said, if I can talk him out of it, then he ain't called to preach. I said, son, you come back when you can tell me that you know God called you to preach, not that you think so. Well, a couple days later after the revival, he came back and said, Brother Bush, I know God's called me to preach. I said, okay, let's talk. I said, that's a whole lot different than I think so. If I can talk you out of it, guess what? It's not the right thing. Now, listen to me very carefully. Being dependable means you follow God's priorities in life, not your own. Guess what? Right there's your priority list. God told us right there what it is. We just got to get in it and figure it out. Everybody doing okay? All right, I got to hurry. Sin and pride causes us to become undependable because we want to do what we want instead of what God says. Number two, God does not usually use a big shot. He uses somebody on whom he can depend to do it his way. We were in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Look at verse number 26. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. Wow. And the base things of the world which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and the things which are not, to bring to naught the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. You're not looking at a big shot. But look what God's doing.
Yes.
Look what God's doing. Brother Fugit the other day, he said, Brother Bush, he said, I love your pioneering spirit. He said, America has lost its pioneering spirit. He said, it's refreshing to watch you pioneer something. He said, you bought a piece of property, cleared off the lot, and started with nothing. He said, not many pastors are doing that, especially our age. He said, yeah, you thought I had enough sense by now not to do that. But I love what he's doing. Just bought 80 acres, put a building up, and they're starting phase two, putting another huge building up. You say, what is that? Somebody's got to have enough vision. Somebody's got to have enough pioneer in them to step out by faith. God doesn't need told the best way for us to do something. Do you know you don't need to tell God how you're going to do something? You're supposed to do it the way he said do it. I'm tired of these little pussyfoot and penny ante preachers that are telling God how they're going to do their soul winning program. They're going to take a survey instead of go soul winning, and then they'll go back and figure out what to do from the surveys and have the higher percentages. Bless God, you can take all the surveys you want, just like any politician, lick your finger and find out which way the wind's blowing. But God said, go house to house and tell every creature. God wants dependability over talent, because talent wants to show off. Dependability wants to please God. We may not have the most polished musicians from time to time, but I'll take the ones that are out soul winning and wanting to serve God and put the time into practice to make it happen. Well, it wasn't perfect. No nail prints. I'll take that over a talent show any day. I've been in the churches with the professional singers, and it turns into a talent show. And it's, they took my song. They sang my song. I'm upset. I'm never going to sing again because that person knows that's my song. I've watched people leave church over somebody singing a song they once sang. I say, sweetie, don't let the door hit you on the backside on the way out. Let it hit you in the head and maybe get you right with God. If we are so petty that we're going to argue over who's going to sing what song, both of you get up and sing a duet. I don't care. I don't care if we heard the same song every week for 4 weeks in a row. As long as we got people that want the power of God on their life when they do it to see God change their life, I'll take that any day. Everybody doing all right? All right, hang in there. Now, I do want you to practice. Don't take me wrong. I've been to churches. Y'all pray for me now. I haven't practiced this one yet. That's not what I'm looking for. But we ought not be doing it to show off either. God uses the weak because weakness shows off God's strength. Do you know that when you're weak, he is strong? And God uses our weakness to show his strength. By the way, that's one of his names, Almighty. All might, all power. And God often uses misfits because misfits will be in place.
Right.
My college president used to say, any old dog can be loyal.
Right.
Any old dog can be faithful.
Right.
You know, a faithful dog's better than a show dog. I hope nobody's got one of these dogs. Did you ever see one of those sissified poodle things? You know, one of those big giant things that's got curly hair. It looks like, you know, looks like one of those rainbow people raised it. Now, wait a minute. Those dogs are about worthless in my book. If that old dog can't chase a rabbit or chase a deer down or howl at something and point or do something, you know, it isn't show dog time. You know, just give me that old mutt. Not the dog I have now, but the dog we had before. It was just an old mutt from the pound. It was a good little old dog. Sickly thing. Had God only knows how sickly that thing was. Had to put it down. It had chronic mange. Oh, I mean, about four times a year, that dog was hairless. And we just couldn't get rid of it. And I finally had to get rid of the dog because I couldn't afford it. I said, look, I can buy you a pedigree dog for what I'm putting into the stupid thing. And I put it down, and several months later, we got the dog we have now. And the wife is happy, and it's all that matters, all right? But may I say this, we're not supposed to be show breeds. If you're more worried about your hair than the power of God, something's not right. I shouldn't ought to have done it. My wife knows this story. It's true. Cross my heart and hope Brother Josh dies. I was a youth director in South Carolina, and I had this pretty girl that decided, you know, she couldn't pass a bathroom without her tackle box full of cosmetics. What do they call that thing? A caboodle? I think that's a long time ago. It was a tackle box, fellas. It's what we used to put fishing lures in. They had cosmetics in it. I'm not kidding. She couldn't, when she came to church, she got out of the car, went to the bathroom with her tackle box. Every time. School, same thing. We were taking a trip to a youth conference or a camp. I made all the girls put all their stuff under the bus. But, I said, nope, it's not going up there. I shouldn't ought to have done it. But I happened to, just Brother Sam, somehow that thing got behind the back end of the bus underneath the back and never got put underneath the bus where the luggage was. I'm not quite sure how that happened. That girl went a whole week with no cosmetics. Oh, she was not a happy camper for a couple days. But you know, in the middle of summer, when everybody else's stuff was running down her face, she didn't have it, and God got a hold of that girl. It took that to humble her. I wonder how many times that we just need to be an old misfit and not a show person. God can use you if you're there. I don't care how talented you are. If you're not there, God can't use you. There's a lot of talented people that were not in church today, and God can't use them. People all the time calling the church, want to come and perform for our church. Yeah. Oh, yeah, we have this ministry, and we can do your music for you. We can do this. We can do, and let us come show you what we can do. No, thanks. I answered the voicemail this morning. There was a voicemail at 5 o'clock this morning on the phone. There was a missionary in town. He said, I happen to be close to your church, and I need a meeting this morning. Can I come present my work to your church? And I thought, you're that close to me, and it took till you were in town to call me? Number one, I'm not flying by the seat of my britches. I don't care if you are. Say, did you return the call? Tomorrow during business hours. Number three, dependable and faithful are akin to each other. The word dependable and the word faithful are pretty well related. I can't tell you it's an exact replica, but it's very, very, very close. Proverbs chapter 20, verse number 6, you need not turn there. And most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness, but a faithful man who can find. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, you might be close to that, verse number 2. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Do you know if you're going to be a steward of God, you have to be faithful, dependable? Again, I don't care how talented you are. If you're not there, nobody can see how talented you are. There are people that will lose their jobs, though they have the talent and the ability to keep it, but they don't have the the character. They don't have the dependability to show up to do it. They have the knowledge. They have the ability, but they're not there to do it. Boy, that's good. God wants people faithful to church. I've said this often. You may not be the most talented Christian, but if you're in church every time you're supposed to be in church, God has a way of making up for your lack of ability. Please don't take this the wrong way, and this is a compliment, not a criticism, but who would have ever thought Joe Lopez would have ever been probably the best children's church worker in America? And an electrician. This is a guy that was having 20 and 30 and 40 grand mal seizures every day for about, 15, 18 years at least. Man, I've seen more of Joe's blood than the doctors have. I've picked Joe up off the floor so many times, it's not even funny. I've been through major accidents with Joe with his seizures. Diving through doors, you name it. Blood squirting everywhere. People wanting, hey, it's okay, it's just Brother Joe, I got him. Don't worry. You're a cruel preacher. No. God knows I love him. But Joe was always there. Always dependable. One day I said, Joe, I need you to preach in junior church. You think I can, preacher? Yeah, I need you to preach in junior church. Man, God got a hold of junior church, and I said, Joe, I just need you preaching every weekend there. Now look at it. Good night. He could write the manual on junior church. You say, what is that? God took somebody who was dependable. Maybe not somebody you thought had the talent. By the way, I'm not sure he had the talent. God gave it to him because he was dependable. Everybody doing okay? All right, hang in there. God wants people who are faithful. Let's just be in our place when we're supposed to be there so God can do what God wants to do. God wants people dependable at their secular jobs. Did you know if you showed up to work every day like you're supposed to, on time, you'd do better at work? It's amazing. The more you show up and the more you do your job, the luckier you get. My daughter has worked at Cracker Barrel now for, 6 months, 8 months, something like that, maybe less than a year. She's already got her third star. They had to slow her down. Her bosses can't keep her busy enough. Can I tell you why? She shows up to work. She worked double yesterday. There's certain things she hates, but she does it. And her bosses say, I know you hate doing this, but you're good at it, so we need you to do it. She says, but Dad, I said, it's okay. If your boss says do it, you're okay. Don't worry about it. God will make up the difference, and he always does. In other words, use your skills to show what God can do through you. Quit trying to show off. By the way, if you show up at your job and be dependable at work, maybe God would bless you to where you could tithe more. Get your bills paid right. Be dependable in paying your bills. Don't make so many of them that you can't pay them. Some of you live from not just check to check, but flipping and flopping. And you pay this bill with this credit card so that you can pay that one off with that one so that you don't, because you don't have enough left to do it because you bought so much. If we'd quit wanting so much and taking what we don't need, the difference between need and want. Be dependable for your friends. You may not want to be, you may not be able to be at everything. Did you know it's going to become impossible to be at everything this church has? I get that. But we could be at all the public services. The extras, maybe not so much. But we could be at everything we can be at. People need to be able to depend on you. If somebody asks you to do something, be dependable enough to do it. As they asked, when they asked, and get it done for them. Boy, that's good stuff. You may not have all the answers, but if you're dependable, you can find somebody to help you find the answer. Be dependable in your walk with God. Schedule a time and walk with God every day. Read your Bible every day. I don't care if it's at 4 o'clock in the morning. Don't care if it's at 6 o'clock in the morning. Don't care if it's 10 o'clock in the morning or at noon or at 10 o'clock at night or 1 o'clock at night. Whatever it is, you find that time and you read your Bible every day. I have a friend who for probably 20 or 30 years got up at 2 o'clock every morning to read their Bible and pray for an hour and then went back to bed. It was something that they did. God bless them. I'm not doing that. If I'm up at 2 o'clock reading my Bible, it's over. I'm up the rest of the day because I'm working on sermons, man. Boom, here we go. But that's what they did. However you choose to do it, that's fine with me. God didn't say, I'll meet with you from this time to this time and that time only. But schedule a time with him. Try to get closer to God than ever. Let's become dependable. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I'm done. Everybody has the same ability. Time and chance happeneth to all. But are we dependable